And I want to talk just for a few minutes. If you'll give me a few minutes, I want to talk about those kinds of things. The lesson this morning is secret things. We've been told that we shouldn't keep secrets. Isn't that right? But everybody has some secrets. Stay with me, church. Families have secrets. Isn't that right? Skeletons in the closet. Mental illness. Certain diseases that run rampant through the families. Friends have secrets that they share only among themselves. Experiences and knowledge about certain things that transpired. Yeah, man, when we were young, we ran and we did this, and you know, there are some secrets among friends. Individuals have secrets. A secret that nobody knows but you and God. Can I get an amen? Yeah, we got some secrets. The things that we don't want anyone else to know, that we might be ashamed of, that we might not look as good in the eyes of others if they knew our secret. Sometimes folks have secret. Now I'm going to start meddling. Sometimes folks have some secret credit cards. Sometimes some have secret money that they stash away in certain places. Some of us have a secret stash of candy that we're not supposed to have, that might be in the car, might be in the cupboard, might be underneath the bed. We have some secret stashes here and there. Isn't that right? Sometimes there are some secret letters that maybe we have that we're keeping from someone. Brothers and sisters, we all have some secrets. We need to be careful when we talk about secrets, though. We need to be sure that our secrets don't get us into trouble. Amen. I remember, and you remember too, in Joshua chapter 7, verse 19 through 25, that when the children of Israel were in the midst of conquering the land of Canaan, that as they conquered a particular city, there was a family, a man named Achan, and he saw some nice spoils that he thought he wanted to keep for himself. He chose the choicest of them, and he took them along with some gold, and he buried it in the ground inside his tent. This was his secret. No one else would know. None of the other tribes knew. Joshua didn't know. But God said, because God knew, what is this you have done? God inquired of Joshua, what's going on here? Because he knew that someone had not been obedient to the things that he had told him to do. It was Achan who had the secret hiding in his tent. And you know the process, how they went through every tribe and they went through every family, and they finally got down to where, boom, it's right there with Achan. Then Joshua basically told him, why don't you fess up? Why don't you admit what you've done? And then he did. You know, some of us won't tell the truth until we got a gun staring us in the face. Some of us won't tell the truth until we're getting ready to be locked up. Some of us won't tell the truth until the wife says, I'm divorcing you, or vice versa. Some folks just have a problem telling the truth. Isn't that right? He was trying to hide some stuff. But folks, be careful what you try to hide. Some stuff is detrimental if you try to hide it. He learned that he had to pay a critical price for one, disobeying God. And the critical price was that his entire family got wiped out. His wife, his children, even animals that he had. God destroyed all of them. Because God was making a point, you have to obey me. You have to obey me, do my will. listen to my word. And you can't try to hide stuff from me because I know what you think laying in your bed. I know what you think when you're walking down the street mumbling going down the sidewalk. I know what you're thinking, and I know what you did when you're driving in your car. I know you, God says. You can't hide anything from me. Listen to the wisdom writer in Proverbs 25 and verse 9. He says, argue your case with a neighbor and do not reveal the secret of another. Now, there are some times that you need to hold on to some stuff. Someone tells you something in confidence. You can't go and blabber it out to everybody. Amen. It's one thing, and I'm going to give you a little lesson here. It's one thing to withhold information, and it's another thing to tell a lie. Amen. Everybody, and I'm going to get to this point in a minute, everyone doesn't have to know everything. There are some things that even God keeps as a secret. God knows a whole bunch of stuff that you and I don't know. Amen? God has a few secrets. I'll just give you one from the scripture. The Bible says in Matthew 24 and verse number 36, it says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. When it was talking about the coming of Christ, the return. There are some things that God holds for himself. There are some things that are under the discretion of God and he, the Father, and he makes that decision. Even the Son doesn't have anything to do with it because it's not necessary for him to know. You know, it's a lot of stuff the government knows that you and I don't know. There are so many secrets, you would be surprised. Some of them would scare you to death, and that's why they don't tell you. Let me move on. But guess what? No worries, church. No worries. God has provided sufficient knowledge. He's provided sufficient knowledge through his word. So all that we need to know, all that we have a right to know, all that is critical and all that is important to us, God has given us. That's why in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Bible points out that God has given us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. If it's something that you need that will help mankind, that will help you to live your life, if it's something that you need in terms of how to live a godly life, how to be a Christian, how to be a good person, then God says, I'm going to give you every detail when it comes to that. Some of us probably don't want to know that, though, do we? But God has given us all that we need to know. Let me give you a few examples, and maybe you'll agree with me. God has given us all that we need to know in order to get to heaven. That's why I said in John 14, verse 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go now to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. God tells us what we need to know. God has given us and he's told us how to honor him. In Revelation 14 and 7, the Bible points out that we need to fear God. We need to have an understanding about God. And we need to give God glory, honor, and praise. We have been given all that we need in order to live a righteous life. In Titus 2, verse 11 through 13, the Bible talks about the grace of God that has appeared unto all men, that it teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world as we look to Jesus Christ. God has given us what we need. Some people say we're talking about renewing ourselves. Well, guess what? You don't need to look anywhere else. You don't need to go to Oprah. You don't need to go to Steve Harvey. You don't need to look up some psychic and nobody. God has given us all that we need. You don't even need to go see a cosmetic surgeon, because God can make you over from the inside out. Amen. God is able. God even has taught us how to love our neighbor. In Matthew 22:39, we ought to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. He taught us how we can get along with relatives and other folks. You know, sometimes it's hard to get along, isn't that right? You might have a brother or sister that just keep on getting after you, isn't that right? You might have a neighbor next door who dumps all of his garbage on your lawn. Oh, I'm getting, I'm meddling with you now. In church, you can say amen, but when he put the garbage down, you had something else to say. The Bible teaches us in Matthew 7 and verse number 12 that we treat people the way we want them to treat us. And Jesus even taught that sometimes we have to turn the head. Sometimes we have to turn the cheek. It don't mean literally somebody slapping you upside the head, but sometimes you have to act as though you didn't even see it happen. Amen. I told you Jesus taught us how we should treat one another. Taught us how to get right with God. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 20. The Bible teaches us that we need to be reconciled to God. We need to bring the relationship back. Some of us have drifted a long way away from God. Some of us have been gone too long away from God. Some of us don't even know how to get back with God. But guess what? God says he's already brought us back together. If you'll just change your ways. Oh yeah, God is good. He's taught us how to love our wives or husbands. Ephesians 5:25, husband loves your wives just as Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. Guess what? Verse 33 says, wives, that you ought to make sure, you got that? You ought to make sure that you respect your husband. Amen. God tells us how to get along. We have all that we need revealed from God. That's why the Israelites were told, you don't need to know all of the secrets that there are. Because the secret things belong to God. But what has been revealed, you obey what has been revealed. That was the message. That's a message for you and me today too. The Bible teaches us how to raise our children. In Ephesians 6 and verse number 4, tells fathers not to provoke their children to anger, but bring them up or raise them up in the nurture or the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We have been taught how to forgive one another. In Ephesians 4 and verse number 32, the Bible teaches us that we need to be kind to one another, tenderhearted. We need to be forgiving each other just as God, through Christ or for Christ, has forgiven us. God says, I can't stand the stuff you do. God says, you are messing up right and left. And I ought to really tear you up. But I'm seeing Christ, my son, who died and who went through all of this agony for you, and even though I want to get you real bad, I'm going to give you a hug. Isn't that right? Boy, some children know sometimes that, you know, maybe daddy or mama was getting after you real bad. And you had a killing coming. But you had done something good for mama. She said, let him go this time. And boy, dad was getting ready to get it. He was taking that belt off. Let him go this time. And that kid say, whew, that was close. Yes, God has taught us how to forgive. Just forgive like God did. And not only that, we need to see the world has gotten to the point that they're ignoring God today. They've gotten to the point, even more so, that we make God to be what we want it to be. And we take God's word and we twist it and we mold it so that we have it do what we want to do. But God was telling them, he told the Israelites, I want you to know something, and that is that you can't make my word be nothing but what it is. And so God has shown us then through his word some things that we need to know today. God has shown us what his church looks like in the world today. It can be identified because, first of all, when you see the organization and the leadership of the church, it has elders in every congregation, or that's the pattern that the word of God says in Acts 14 and verse number 23, that the apostles were ordaining elders in every church, wherever that church was, in whatever city, whatever location, every congregation. And second, or I should say, and because of that, here's what you don't see. You don't see any popes over the Lord's church. You don't see any reverends running the Lord's church. And the Lord's church doesn't have headquarters somewhere other than the local congregation. Only in that local congregation is there what's called headquarters. And the only headquarters, guess what, is really in heaven. God is, Christ Jesus, that is the head of the body, the church, according to Colossians 1, 18 and 24. And so you have elders who are getting their charge, who are getting their instructions from headquarters, which isn't in Cincinnati, but it is in heaven, because that's where Christ is. And Christ has given his instructions through his word. Another thing we can see and know the church today. Anyone who wants to be honest and anyone who wants to be a part of what God has done has sufficient information through the word of God to know what the church of Christ looks like. You can tell by the type of worship. In the Lord's church, everyone sings. They sing songs. They sing hymns. They sing spiritual songs. And they make melody or accompaniment in the heart. You don't have any bass guitars. You don't have any lead guitars. So you don't have to go to the guitar center and buy some Fenders or Les Pauls and all that. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about any drum sets. And I notice in some of the churches now, I don't know if the drummers go crazy or what, but they have these plastic little enclosures for the drum sets in these congregations that's beating and clanging and carrying on. You don't have to worry about injuring nobody if your drumstick fly out and hit somebody. I guess that's what it's for. But I'm just making a point. That's not how God established his church. That's not what you're supposed to see when you walk into a house of worship that belongs to God that is patterning themselves from the scriptures. Because in Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, the Bible says, don't be filled with wine, that's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Yes, we, if we follow God's word, can be renewed in a spiritual way. But we have to quit worrying about stuff that God didn't tell us to do and didn't say. Don't worry about secret stuff when it comes to religious things. Don't worry about what God didn't tell you. If God told you what to do, you don't have to worry about everything else. From the time in the garden, God says, don't eat of that tree. Well, he didn't have to say, well, you can't come along Satan. Well, how come he said that? I don't know. He just said, don't do it. And when we start trying to fill in the gaps, we got some problems. I don't know how many stars are in the heavens and the sky. I don't know how many planets are circulating around there because they keep on finding them. I don't know, and I really don't care. Because it has nothing to do with my salvation. I don't understand all of the laws that go into jet propulsion. I don't have to. If I'm a rocket scientist, I might have to sweat a little bit. But because I'm not, I'm just preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, I don't need to know that. We don't have to know everything, church. We just have to know what God has told us to do. And do what God has told us to do. That means then that many of us need to go back to the Bible. Sometimes when, and I ain't making no predictions, I've already done that. Sometimes when sports teams start losing, they say, we gotta go back to the basics. Go put one foot in front of the other. Blocking, tackling, serving the ball, or whatever it is they're playing. All we have to do as Christians is get to the basics of what God has told us to do. And because every one of us, I don't care what your name is, don't care what your address is, don't care how many degrees you have, all of us have to give an answer to God. One day all of us will stand before God and give an answer to the things that we've done in this body according to that which we've done, whether it's good or bad. So then, we got to get back to the Bible. And when we get back to the Bible, we will find refreshing from the Lord and spiritual renewal. See, God always has some blessings. God always will take care of us if we'll just get back to the Bible. You know, many times when you're in an application on your computer, it might freeze up or not do something, and there'll be a little button that says refresh. Isn't that right? As Christians, we need to refresh. As Christians, we need to be encouraged. As Christians, we need to be able to get a break, get some rest from all of the strife and all of the stuff that goes on in our lives. And that's the impetus behind Acts chapter 3, verse 19. The Bible says, therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord and that he may send Jesus the Christ appointed to you, for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient times. We need to refresh. We need a rest. We need a reboot from God. And God has given that through Jesus Christ. But we have to depend on God's word. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 4:2, the things that were part of the covenant could not be added to, and they could not be taken away from. In Revelation 22, in verse number 18, under a threat of the curse or the plagues that were written in the book of Revelation, it says, you shall not add to nor take away from these things. So then the Bible is clear. What God has told us, whether Old Testament or New Testament, we are held accountable to do. It doesn't matter if you like it. It doesn't matter if your mama obeyed it. It doesn't matter if your daddy ignored it. It doesn't matter if it don't feel right, don't sound right. If God said do it, one day you'll have to answer for why I didn't do it. Doesn't matter that you like instruments better. God said sing. I was telling the leaders, you know, organizations that have to have musicians, those musicians hold the church at hostage because they can charge anything they want. And most of them aren't doing it for free. When I grew up with some musicians. And on Sunday morning, they said, man, I got to go play this gig over here at the church. They were just going to play, that's all. They weren't members. They were just going to play. But God already has his whole orchestra assembled on Sunday morning. He got some altos, he got some basses, he got some tenors, he got some sopranos. All you got to do is open your mouth and praise God. Sing praises to God. Don't matter if you're in the jungle, don't matter where you are. Sing praises to God, and that's the way God wanted it. We can freely speak of one secret that God has revealed to us. We can speak of it because he has revealed it to the church. And that secret is how that everything has been summed up in Christ. In Colossians 2, 26 and 27, it says, this is the mystery which has been hidden for past ages and generations, but has now been manifest to his saints, to whom God will to make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If we don't get some Christ in us, then we have no hope. But the mystery, the secret that God had, the secret that Satan couldn't figure out, is that Christ in us is the hope of glory. Christ is my answer. Christ is my salvation. Christ is my renewal. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It's all about Christ. Our spiritual renewal is in Christ Jesus, according to Colossians 3, 9, and verse number 10. I don't know where you are this morning, but I do know one thing, that if you're not in Christ, you're not where you need to be. If you're outside of Christ, you're in the wrong place. If you've been in Christ and you stepped out the door and you haven't been back, you need to come on back in. Because in Christ is the place where we need to be. Here's the reason why. Every one of us sitting up in here right now has a secret, at least one. Some of us got a bunch of them. But guess what? Christ knows all your secrets. Don't care how much you cover it up. Don't care how much makeup you put on. Christ knows your secret. And none of us can have salvation without Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man is going to come to him, to the Father, except we come through Christ. So if you this morning want to be renewed, if you want to be refreshed, just think about it, how nice it is. This summer we took the kids, grandkids, to Florida, and it was 90-something every day. And you start walking around in those parks. Man, don't you know it felt good to get a nice cold drink of water. It felt wonderful even when the rain came down on us, because it refreshed us. It cooled us off. It's a wonderful thing when we can get some relief, when we can get some rest, when we can get some renewal that comes from God. A glass of iced tea might be refreshing. It might be cool, and it might be good. But a refreshing and a renewal that comes from God is out of this world. Someone here today needs to give their life to Jesus Christ. And the way you do that is hear God's word. Listen to it. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins, because Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repeated it again in verse number 5. We must repent. It means we've got to change our mind. Folks, the reason we hang out at church is because what's going on up here. The reason why we live in a reckless manner is because of what's going on in our minds. But when we change our minds, then we can change the stuff that we do. If you want to come to Christ, come repenting of your sins and confess Christ before men. If you confess him before men, he'll confess you before his Father, which is in heaven. Be buried with him in baptism. Now, let me tell you something. A whole lot of folks don't even teach baptism according to the scriptures. The ones that do touch it, some of them just want to sprinkle some water on you. A few others will take a cup and pour a little bit on your head. But when you read God's divine word, you see people went down into the water, came up out of the water, and they were immersed in the water, because baptism is a burial and a reenactment of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, according to Romans chapter 6. So then, some folks will say, just receive him into your heart right now. Some folks will say, go to the church of your choice. But that's not the word of God. The word of God said that Christ built a church, Matthew 16:18, his church, and that his church was for everyone. The gospel was proclaimed and preached, not just in Judea, Samaria, but Jerusalem, but the uttermost parts of the world. The gospel today is for every woman, boy, or girl, regardless of where they live. And everyone gets into his church the same way. And folks, we've got to be careful. Just because somebody sprinkled you and then you became a part of an organization doesn't mean you became a part of the Lord's church. Amen? Amen. Even some folks are so slick. They, if you want to, will immerse you, but you become a part of some organization that you don't read about in the Word of God. The Bible says, don't go beyond the things that are written. In 2 John 2:9, if we transgress and go beyond that, then we're not pleasing to God. Don't know where you are this morning, but I know this. If you're not in Christ, you should get in Christ. If you have wandered away, you should come home. If you know that spiritually you need a reboot, you need to be refreshed. You need to be energized. You need to get some of the stress off of your back. then you need to come to Christ. And I simply say, come now as we together stand and sing.
Restore my spirit, Lord.
Will you come this morning?
Restore my